Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Guys, we have the Season 2 finale, and we have a lot of things to talk about and some very special people to do it with. So stick with us after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I haven't heard this song in about 15 years.
Yeah, no, I still.
I have it on my iTunes and I adore it. And for those of you who are wondering, it's called Invisible Man.
Sure.
Because I'm not a good person.
No, you're not. Terrible.
Just kidding. It's a lie.
For the record, though, Mark Donica, are you listening? Are you on a microphone? Do you want to tell?
I'm on a microphone.
Do you want to tell people what you had initially queued up for this?
I queued up Metallica's Fade to Black.
Right. Also, Mark is a great person.
Very fitting. And my other option was Blackout by Breathe Carolina, which is
we already had like stuff already
falling
like,
inside
up.
The black.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Good Lord, puns and everything. Welcome to the Voltron After Show, y'all. We are looking at Season 2, Episode 13, Blackout, because puns for days.
Always.
With me, of course, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me. I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at that very name, Emma Fife, because it is mine.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hello, everyone. You can find me all over social media at atorres890. How to do it.
Green Line, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, I'll be over here jamming out to my 8th grade like soundtrack.
You've just dated us all.
But you guys, in the meantime, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen. People said Black Lady and that is not correct.
It's a different show.
Yeah. I am Black Lion, yep. Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the hashtag ABTV Voltron. We have the live chat. Emma's keeping an eye on that for us. If you have anything fun to say, if you have any questions for our guests, throw them in the hashtag, throw them in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. And we have two fantastic people with us tonight. We have co-executive producer Lauren Montgomery.
Yay!
And executive producer Joaquin Dos Santos.
Yay! Hey
guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so happy that you guys are here.
I was like, okay, I know we're supposed to talk about Voltron, but like, can we just like talk about Avatar and Korra?
No, because we have like an hour and that's it.
But do you think people would notice? Like,
A little bit. Thanks for joining us tonight, and thanks for a crazy season. Holy, thanks for the show.
Yeah, just all
of the stuff.
Well, thanks for watching it. I mean, we do it so that people watch it. If they don't watch it, then we'd be killing ourselves for no reason. Right. That would be kind of pointless.
And honestly, we're just stoked that like this happens for the show. It's crazy. It's absolute madness that it happens.
Yeah, we've gotten like such a great response from fans this season. We always get a really good turnout for the live chat. Like I had somebody tweet at me today. It was Galra Keith on Twitter tweeted at me and was like, "Hey Emma, I'm sorry if it's not okay to ask this," which please always tweet at me and ask me things. It's always fine to ask. They're like, do you have a guest on AfterBuzz Voltron show tonight? It was like, we have a couple, actually. And he was like, all right, well, I'm in the UK. I'm just going to stay up till 5 a.m. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Now, the question is, are they in the chat right now?
I mean,
if you are, say hi.
Yeah, I think people were discussing what time it was in their zone.
Yeah.
Some people were saying 3 a.m., 5 a.m.
You know what? This is a great time if you are in Australia, apparently. But other than that, it can be a little challenging.
Well, it's 9:15 p.m. Pacific time, which is where we live, and we should talk about this episode, you guys.
Yes, please.
Yes.
You know, so it's really Gundam fight.
It's really great. Okay. With how well everything went in the last episode, everything was gonna go really well in this one,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. It's just within the first 2 minutes, we have this is the end of Zarkon's reign, and I'm like, no, you got 20 minutes left in the episode. It's not gonna be that easy.
Nope, Honey Bunch is a nope. That's not how this works.
I love that no one accounted for magic. No one accounted for the planet juice extractor, and yet here we are.
Well, I feel like it was just because anytime we saw magic, it was usually, you know, on Zarkon's base. We didn't really get to, like, actually have to deal with it firsthand, and now it's like, oh, hey, look, we forgot about this twist.
But the Planet Marmora, like, vaguely knew that they were developing this horrifying super weapon. But the conversation just never came up.
Yeah. Okay.
But those guys are notoriously tight-lipped.
They're yeah. Like, true. That is true. No, they played with more people. That's very accurate.
They like their cryptic talk, for yeah. sure.
But yes. if it would be something that would throw off this mission that they have very carefully planned and were willing to completely abort because one thing wasn't exactly aligned in place, you'd think it would come up in the conversation.
I think maybe they didn't recognize that it would be weaponized also. So yeah, I think, you know, it had a very, you know, specific purpose to draw the quintessence out of planets.
And we never yeah. expect them to be more evil than expected, right?
Well.
Like, above and beyond for the evil, the dumpster fire is spreading.
To be fair, though, how well can you really account for space magic? Especially with what we find out later in the episode, there really wasn't a way to kind of predict that from their end anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? We're there. We're doing this. Let's talk about this. Hagar Zoltan?
Yeah.
That thing.
So awesome that happened. I love it.
I have so many thoughts and questions.
And I've been trying to figure out,
sinking into your seat.
Yeah. I've been trying to figure out Allura being able to randomly adapt to tainted quintessence / the Hagar space magic. And I guess it's because she's also Altan? Question mark?
Bigger, maybe a bigger universe out there. Maybe there's something bigger at hand. Beyond being Altan?
Magic space princess powers.
It's been 10,000 years. A lot of things have changed.
I was going to say, from my perspective, she just automatically, in her moment of need, gained the ability to make force fields.
Yep.
With
Super Saiyan.
And I'm cool yeah. with that.
I think she was just as surprised as anybody watching. Yeah. Her expression yeah, exactly. was like, what just happened?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I feel like it was a very very Sailor Moon thing. Like, just when you yeah. need it, a magical ability
exactly.
will manifest itself, and it's awesome, and you vanquish your foes with it.
Yeah,
it's
magical space princess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and this is after she takes this blast of energy right after we watched another Galra take it to the chest and go down DBZ style. So
I was kind of anticipating that guy was going to stick around a little longer. Apparently not.
Yeah, I was with you, Megan. I definitely had a moment of, oh, yep, that's right. They kill people on this show.
That's not good, because within two episodes we've gotten two named characters and they've been axed.
Yeah. The Marmorans kind of. That's yeah. what they do. Yeah. They sort of sacrifice themselves for the greater good.
Hi!
Hey!
Surprise, we have a third guest.
Yeah.
Bex is back, y'all.
Yeah, I like that shirt, Bex. That's really cute.
I need that shirt in my life.
Yes, I want it now.
I found it online and I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, that's cute.
Do it.
Thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I
wow.
I wore it for Space Dad's birthday.
Incredible. Bex Taylor Klaus, the voice of Pidge. Welcome back.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
And also, we'd love to thank you for what happened last week.
Oh my gosh.
Personally. He texted me today. He said, I have to do It's Not Easy Being Green. And we went through a whole list of what each person has to do for their character.
Oh, we'll save some time at the end. I mean, someone went full throttle and edited his vocals over that AMV. It was amazing.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was you guys.
Neil, if you're watching, thank you again. That was so incredibly entertaining and hilarious. It was fantastic.
Well, and Josh said he was watching tonight, so hi, friend.
Yay! Hi. Also, Neil is one of the most entertaining humans I've ever met
really
in my
is.
Life.
Yeah.
So,
it's like, almost intimidating.
Yes! Everyone we've had on for this show has just been there like 1,000%. I think we've had one episode that hasn't had a guest. And then everyone else has just been you guys tearing it up, and it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been really fortunate to have an awesome cast and just an awesome crew.
Yeah. And Neil, you know, when we first heard his voice in the auditions, we were like, oh my God, this guy's huge. He's a massive man. Like, hey, Neil. Nice to meet you. He was like, what's up, dude? How's it going? Crazy.
Yeah. He walked in the studio and I was like, you know, I've only seen your Twitter icon and it's Zarkon. So you're wearing purple. You came color coded.
Yeah.
The first time we had him, I think we had like a big recording like early on, and there were a bunch of execs that came because they all came to see like the first recording with all the paladins.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some people, there wasn't enough room in the room, so some people were sitting on the floor and they weren't actually looking at what was happening in the voice booth. And then Zarkon spoke for the first time, and I remember Margie, like the head of DreamWorks, just like kind of jumping. Like, oh my god, it was so much bass.
Yeah, because you don't expect that voice to come out of that person.
Yeah. All about that bass.
About that bass.
No trouble.
No gallbladder.
Well, this is going to be one of those shows.
I'm just going to have songs. We're just going to have a, like an after those after show song list of just stuff that we're covering from the voice
actors.
We're
all going to do karaoke afterwards, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we can just go right down to the Moonlight, goodnight, whatever bar.
Sardos is open. Sardos is always open.
Sardos is always open.
Just don't go on Tuesdays.
So
back to this episode. Yes. Like, kind of
this
going
episode,
in.
We're talking about this?
Yeah.
That is just believe it or not, that is the point of the after show. Right. Is to talk about the show. No, I've encountered people who are very confused as to what we're doing here.
Right. Series finale of Legend of Korra. I'm just kidding.
Like 2.5 years ago, you were there. I was on that panel.
You don't know.
I feel like I have to just tease whoever wrote on the board, because I don't know what that word says, but it looks like it says condom fight.
Guys are fighting.
Oh, yeah. I see the condom
fight. My handwriting is great. Hey,
we're keeping this G-rated.
I'll be sure to take a picture.
Oh, there we go. We're going to be explicit on iTunes, Bex. Thanks. My bad.
We already are. We use the explicit version of the opening song.
Oh, wow. Let the F-bombs fly.
I'll take a picture of my notes and put them on Twitter if anyone wants them. My notes that I took while I was watching this episode are absolutely not work safe, but that's half the fun of watching
this.
They
never are, though, right?
No,
right.
They never are. They're stream of consciousness and all caps lock.
Right, but there was, so as we say, there was a magic fight and there was a space fight. It was not a condom fight, but it was a
Gundam fight.
Very reminiscent of a Gundam fight.
I mean, show a little bit your shirt
condom.
Here.
Right, so condom. I was feeling inspired, so I have on, I don't know if I can get an angle that people can see.
For you guys listening on iTunes.
Even though, so I believe it was James in the chat said, like, Zarkon got his very own Wing Zero. No, he didn't. It was totally Epion. It had a whip like Epion did.
You know what? And we referenced Epion a ton.
Yeah.
We did. Like, I remember bringing out the toy and just, like, looking at it and being like, this is the guy.
Dude, that model kit, the most current model kits of Epion are sick.
That chain sword, though.
Yeah.
I actually went full Soul Calibur on that one.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, Soul Calibur.
So when does the toy for Zarkon's mech suit come out?
Exactly.
I didn't want that. Not fast enough.
Yeah.
Also, for me, that was at the toy fair.
I don't know.
For his mech suit?
Yeah, just the Zarkon little
Zarkon.
Yeah, little Zarkon. Yeah, not the mech suit.
Which lasted for a whole 15-minute fight and then got wrecked. Like, yeah, that's what happens when you drive the prototype. You're lucky you lived.
So, but just in regards to the like mobile suit that he got, he kept talking about how they were making him this armor. It did not cross my mind that it was going to be like a mobile suit. Like, in my mind, I was like, oh, it's like a
kind of
suit,
like,
of armor.
It'll go out like a knight.
Yeah.
Well, and you brought up the fate of the original Zarkon.
I thought this was a nice way to sort of give a nod to that, because in the original series, he actually does become a Roe Beast. And here, it's far... I like this better because he's not... The way that Roe Beasts are made is clearly so it makes sense that he would give himself like a little cockpit and, you know, make sure, like, hey, I'm not gonna die.
Did you notice that it incorporated the Bayard?
Yeah.
It did.
Like,
the idea is that he's trying to force the Voltron situation to happen again, and it just time after time, it
you
probably wasn't working.
Yeah, you gotta let it go, man.
Exactly. Can't make Fetch happen.
Speaking of incorporating the Bayard, I apologize, James. He said that the Black Lion went all Wing Zero, which it did.
Oh,
it
absolutely
did.
Yeah.
So, correct. I'm sorry, James. You're right. And Zarkon's Gundam is Epion. It's even the same color, you guys.
So, what other influences went into Zarkon's armor? Like, how did the development for that come about?
Gosh, I'm blanking on the name. What's the name of that bug anime?
The bug
anime.
There's a lot of
Morgus?
Them.
Dunbine. Oh, Dunbine.
Dunbine.
Yeah.
There's one, and I'm blanking on the actual suit. I want to say it's like Darth or Sparth or Barth or
I think
something.
It was Sparth.
No, that's the artist.
Oh, that's
guy.
The artist.
We talk a language that not many can understand, but it's he had this really black armor, and he had these huge wings with these like awesome vents in them. Mm-hmm. And I remember bringing the toy in to Christine, who ends up, or I think Christy actually ended up designing him. And Christine is in the same room, and Christine brings death to her toys because she likes to take them apart and understand.
She studies them like a Frankenstein.
Oh, I
like,
love her.
Anytime I lend her something, I say, do not break this, Christine. I need him back in one piece. Yeah. And she's like, I promise, Lauren,
I used to do that with computers. It drove my dad crazy.
She's got like a drawer of death.
Yeah, a little bit. She's what's his name from the freaking Sid from Toy Story?
Yeah. She literally has a drawer of just death.
She currently has two plastic cups with like legs in them. Like, she's like, okay, I took them apart. He goes in a cup. There's a cup of this guy, and then there's a cup of this guy.
Oh, I want to be friends with her.
I'm picturing a mad scientist's garage.
Yeah.
Like, in her abode.
And just like random lightning flashing every time she puts in a new cup. Like,
to robots in disguise and all those heads in jars.
Yeah.
That episode?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, I didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly.
It also reminded me this guy a little bit, the way it was operated, of Escaflowne. Because
You know, it's all in
It's a big love letter. I loved it because to me, like, because I love mecha anime, and so it really was like just such a delight to see all these different like mecha that I liked incorporated into this one mobile suit.
And,
and
then Evangelion is all the I'm expecting Robies to get even more screwed up from here on in.
Oh, but it's gonna be
even
so
more
good,
terrifying.
I don't know, maybe a different approach is required. I don't know.
Just crickets from the couch.
Good. We don't want spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised.
So we have a magical knockdown dragout going on inside in order to prevent the planet juice extractor from firing again, because they almost did. I thought that was going to kill someone.
Yeah, for sure.
I was so sure. Like, this is how they die, y'all. Season 3 isn't confirmed yet.
Yeah, had they not been in Voltron, they may have died.
Yeah.
But luckily, Voltron is amazing. Therefore,
and so the quintessence was sucked out of Voltron, and they were okay. But then, because they've now bonded so magically with their life, that's like
the
thing that I like.
The power of friendship.
Yes.
All I got from that was, you are filled with determination.
That's what quintessence really is. Yeah. It's just pure determination.
He had a full-on Undertale moment and went, but it refused.
Yep. Do what I would do. Believe
now.
In you.
God. What's happening? Ready for this.
I think we're just having an emotional amalgamate here, and we're all just going to lie down and die.
Don't use that word.
Amalgamation's what I'm going for, and I went the full Undertale route, and it's messed up.
What are you okay?
No.
You guys are making quintessence right now.
No,
that's
what's happening. You're not alone. Corinne
making quintessence.
Corinne in the chat said that she cried really hard when she saw them like not quite in their seats after they all like got attacked.
That was such a beautiful sequence.
It is. It's a beautiful sequence. However, I think that they should consider installing seat belts.
They got the magnetic butt seat.
They got magnets in their butts. We just worked
on
the
actual process.
That's a technical term.
You know, when they went into the castle and it scanned them, it was just
like,
oh,
butt magnet.
There you go.
It explains everything.
Good to go.
Perfect.
Done.
But
I was gonna make a magnetic personality joke, but I like that.
That would be better.
But we've literally worked on so many shows where it's always like seatbelts.
It was for like kid safety,
it's
so it's
the most annoying thing because you got to draw this big line, and then they've got like a buckle, and it just looks awful.
Yeah,
and we're like, can we just make it like Star Trek? They don't have to wear seatbelts, and that's what you have to tell them, because they'll be like, no, they have to wear seatbelts. We're like, no, it's like Star Trek. Super like it's chill. They just kind of float around. It's good, and they're like, okay, and then you know they get thrown around and
yeah.
But like they didn't so call us on it.
You hit
it
with the Star Trek stick. Magnets.
Yeah.
And that's how you know things are really serious, because the gravity goes off.
That's it.
And we had that multiple times this episode.
Yeah. It's Slavin and zero gravity is just the best.
Oh my
Did you guys
God.
Notice the mice too? Like the mice took a little loop.
My favorite moment, I mean, and I loved this episode. The space battles were amazing.
So
but literally my favorite part of the episode was when Slav pried the door open in the castle and is like, did we win yet?
I'm assuming that everything is okay. Oh, friend.
He's already gone. Do you think the way that like this scenario actually played out, do you think he brought that up as a statistical possibility, or was he just like, yeah, no, there's no way that, like, there's no way we're succeeding, period.
He knows. He's got like, all right, there's like two versions where we succeed. Maybe this is one of those.
Yeah. If we're not dead yet, maybe we won. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe like he got. Maybe got
we've
so
gotten
excited.
This far.
Yeah.
He got so excited, Mark?
Yeah, he maybe got so excited in the aspect of battles that he forgot any sort of possibility that there might have been.
That was what Maya was suggesting.
I just think that he's so far in denial, he's taken up residence in Egypt.
Ooh.
Yeah,
wow.
Maybe.
That's kind of where you have to live when you can see all that.
Someone's taking a shot for the pun.
Yes. People had better be. We're up to two. Egypt and magnetic personalities. Come on, y'all. Keep up.
Yeah.
Make your sendak on ice and let's do this.
Sweet Christmas.
We should talk about
Voltron
this.
Drinks.
I believe they've created it.
No, somebody made a drinking game.
I need to... There
no,
is
but
a,
like, no, but like Voltron concoctions.
Oh,
like
I need
did somebody
to
create
actually,
a cocktail list?
I need to put out my Sendak on ice recipe. Like, I haven't actually put that online yet, but there is a recipe, and it involves purple sparkly liqueur. I kid you not.
I'll make a graphic for it.
Yeah. Cool. I will take pictures and show. I'll make one tonight.
I have to find it, but somebody DM'd me a picture of, like, Alexis's tears. Like, it's like a drink.
Like a mug?
Yeah. So I was like, well, thanks, guys.
God, I think that's all of our tears.
Yeah, just
let's be real. Fandom has cried an ocean over this show.
Yeah. So shout out in the chat. I'm sorry, just to interject for a second. Hashtag make Slav the Black Paladin.
Ooh, that would be.
Can you imagine
like,
all the arms in the armor?
Well, like, just the ultimate insult to Shiro, because like he is the only person who has managed to like piss Shiro off to the point of like not being able to function.
He's the only one. Yeah.
It's a really impressive feat.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like, gotta have some gumption. Like, I'm calm and cool and collected, except for you. So let's actually talk about this gigantic Gundam fight, because in true anime fashion, we have, like, four power upgrades.
So cool. Yeah.
And the occasional new challenger entering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked all the different, like, abilities that the armored suit had.
Yeah.
Like, with the shield.
The shield weapons. Yeah. And the
sword whip.
Sword whip's great. It's like they've learned from every roe beast that they've sent out about the only thing that it didn't do was try to suck Voltron in, and let's be real, that would just get real awkward.
Well, that's something that we really appreciate about this show, is that nothing is wasted.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of groundwork laid, and then we get to see it in the finales when we get that payoff. So.
Yeah, because especially since these guys are supposed to be learning from the fact of these battles, so it's like, well, here's our lesson learned for the end of the season, you know? We actually learned from this battle.
Yeah, we learn a lesson, and then lo and behold, two episodes down the line, we still remember that we learned that lesson.
Yeah, instead of just, like, doing it and then forgetting about it. Like,
we don't have
later.
Negative continuity. Yeah. Negative continuity drives me crazy when it's a story-driven show.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that we're lucky with this format, is that we get to tell, you know, a big, giant, sort of serialized story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was them doing right by the first time they failed at the, you know, the end of season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also have, like, characters learn a lesson, and it stays learned. Ask me about Transformers Animated sometimes. Mm. In terms of learning lessons.
We have thoughts.
But that's a different show.
But, like, getting ready to work on this episode, were you guys excited about, like, getting all of those story payoffs?
For sure. I think, you know, when we go into it, we're just excited, to make a show that I think makes people feel, and usually in these sort of situations is when you get to do that the most, because you can't have kind of one of those huge, huge moments like earlier on, where if she was missing in episode 7, then what do you do in episode 13? But, you know, I'm a huge fan of Doctor Who, and one thing, he won't watch it. Tell him to watch it.
Okay. I watched it with my mom. I watched the weird one from like the 70s or 80s, where there was the old guy with the curly hair and the scarf.
I just remember
thinking, this is just like an old guy walking around.
All right, you take your judgments about Tom Baker out of here.
I'm sorry.
Gallifrey last weekend. I was at a Doctor Who convention.
I appreciate it now.
Okay.
I'm still traumatized.
But continue with your story.
So the thing that I love about it is that it makes you feel for characters that basically arrive and exit in one episode.
Yes, that's very true.
And I've watched, you know, so many shows that have kind of failed to do that in their run. And so, you know, we can't do that every single episode, but we try to at least make people care about these characters. We spent 26 episodes with them at this point.
Yeah.
If people aren't crying about them, we failed.
I mean, for me, it's more like... For me, it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I love that show.
I love that show, too.
But it was great because you could have an episode where, like, Xander's substitute teacher was, like, a praying mantis that was, like, killing kids and super cheese, like, the worst.
Season one.
And then you have an amazing episode when, like, Buffy's mom passes away. Right. And it's just so heart-wrenching. Yeah. You know, it could... I think we wanted to make a show that could kind of, like, span that.
Did you find that the process of sort of creating the show was different, knowing that you were creating for that Netflix, we're going to drop 13 episodes at a time?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that was a huge part of the fact that we could start planting seeds really early on. Keith's Knife, we knew that from the beginning.
Right.
You know, that stuff, I think, it's like a storyteller's dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This show, guys.
Being emotionally compromised and trying to get back on track. I just am skipping ahead a little in the battle, but I think the bit that wrecked me the most is Shiro and the Black Lion and the bear part shows up. Yes. And I just, that's the part of the episode more than anything else where I just went,
Now, here's the thing. I didn't, when that happened, I was like, that's just unfair.
I didn't stick your hand in it, it'll work.
A scenario where they could phase through and obtain the Bayard. I thought they were going to have to go and, like, literally rip it out of Zarkon's cockpit.
Hold dead hands.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were a Galra ship, it would have just had a handprint pop up. He could have done that.
Yeah.
I wanted him to stick his hand in the thing.
Just go. Stupid Altaian technology. But so I thought it was like a horrible, like, if only you had that.
So it was like trolling him.
Step up. Trolling him. Meanwhile, it's like slightly under the control of Zarkon. It's just like,
you know what it was? It was like kind of asking your new boyfriend, it's like, hey, could you go buy my ex and like pick up my CDs? That would be great.
And it's just like, well, he used to be able to do this for me, and I need you to step up.
I think he was just kind of telling him, like, this is the time. The time is now. Mm-hmm. Here's your moment. I'm not going to tell you anymore if you can't figure this out. Right. You don't deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And go get my CD.
We're going to hop on over to the astral plane and pickpocket Zarkon.
Well,
that
sure.
That was so cool.
Well, it was
amazing.
But it seems so to cool. me that there is sort of this otherworldly connection between past paladins and present paladins.
And from what I'm guessing, only one of the past paladins is still alive, which is why we're only seeing it with Shiro.
Correct.
Yep. If we wind up with time travel or surprise, I was down here in cryogenic sleep all along, or I am just a really long-lived species, y'all have, like, I'm a Time Lord. You look different. Well, yes, I'm a Time Lord. Like, depending on what we get, if for some crazy godforsaken reason, at least one of the other previous paladins is alive, who knows, we might see that. And I'm pointing not looking at the couch right now.
Catherine in the chat says hashtag Shiro's force sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
He's fighting Zarkon on the astral plane right now. You know that's where he is.
He may very well be one with the force right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of chat that it's now no longer Space Dad, but Space Ghost.
That's pretty amazing.
He's got the right color scheme, too. He just has a yellow cape.
Yeah.
Space Ghost.
Daryl Karan's cape.
Why must they hurt me?
Because it's fun.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, Mark actually commented in the chat asking if anybody had noticed if Josh had perhaps added a Space Ghost costume to his Amazon wish list.
Probably did.
I don't even know. But I'm fully living on comic book rules here, which is no body, no death. Well, if they can do it with Nova, they can do it with Shiro.
I think we're just hinting that there's a bigger picture with the lions.
Absolutely. For sure. A bigger picture with the lions.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I want, like, a spirit world adventure of what's the deal with the lions.
Yes, we go into the spirit world to find Shiro. Let's do it.
Again, this is, again, without kind of relying on the original show where, you know, that character died very early on. Without relying on that, you guys really did a good job of setting up, hey, I might not be around all the time without actually having to kill off that character, maybe, assuming he's not one with the Force. But with him gone, we already know that there are pieces in place for Keith to step in to be the leader, potentially. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if that's the way it's gonna go, but, like, you guys have laid that groundwork.
Oh, I'm definitely on board for Grant.
I'm sorry, we previously established that it's going to be Slav. The other popular vote from the chat, Colton Ecker.
Yes.
Oh, yes. He's already got the color scheme.
Yeah.
I do want to say that shot where the only two lions that you see kind of outside of the lions are the black and the red, and I love those two shots where you're looking outside of the black, the red. You see Keith, and then you see the black lion in the background. And you're looking at Shiro, and you see the red.
Oh, is that the one with the floating? Yeah. Oh, okay,
it's gorgeous.
She did the non-butt magnet scene.
I'm like, it's gone. It's just gone.
Butt magnet.
If it happened yesterday, I don't remember.
Yeah, somebody in the chat.
It was no pun intended. Stellar.
I apologize for missing your name. Asked that, you know, since they do have these butt magnets, as we've established, is that canon? Yes. If they're near another magnet, do they risk it?
They repel.
They make sure not to put any like credit cards in their back
Or like communication devices. You can't just put those in your pocket.
Well, they're in their helmets. So.
They do have a lot of loose change back there. Yeah.
Whether they like it or not.
And so Keith's the only one in danger because his head's firmly implanted up his butt.
Wow!
Could be Lance.
That's
Lance.
Lord of mercy.
Good Lord. Give me some ice water for that burn. Wow! I have some. We're good. Yeah, it's just Shiro continually saying, I want you to lead Voltron if anything happens to me. He walked into this the most aware of his own mortality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he also was, like, kidnapped and tormented by the Galra for a while and is, like, hence missing being an arm.
Hence being the most aware of his own mortality. I mean, everyone else are still in the we're teenagers, we're immortal phase when this starts off, and Shiro's walking into it like, guys, the universe hates us. It's messed up out there, and I can only remember a little of it.
The world is a cruel, dark place.
All of them.
He's got bad guy number one just, like, on a beeline straight for him.
That's true. Right. I've been dumpster diving. It sucks.
But, I mean, besides Shiro knowing, I mean, we already knew that Emma knew about that the entire time.
What, that Shiro was going to some pseudo-die?
Yeah,
because I liked Voltron when I was a kid, and this is what I asked, and I'm not going to ask you, because obviously you guys had a hand in creating this, but it's like any of the voice cast that we've had, and I'm always like, so did you like Voltron when you were young, and do you feel like Shiro's do?
You did ask me that, and I was just like,
he's just in the trans-dimensional hospital, guys.
Dead men be.
He'll come back in a season.
What is he hanging with Optimus Prime in that, like, that area that we have?
Yeah. Is he in the realm of trans right now?
Yeah, he's just gonna go Optimus on this, or like, it's like Dragon Ball.
Heaven.
It's like Dragon Ball Z. He's like on King Kai's planet, just like training.
He's just hanging out.
He's just got a little halo.
He's just training.
I sincerely want the clouds to roll in for him to have a remember who you are speech.
I want it so bad.
Yeah.
We're already working with lions.
Yeah. I mean, true.
So it would be Mufasa.
Can someone recreate the clouds rolling in, but with the black lion?
Yeah, it'll just be Mufasa. Yes. And the black lion will just have the voice of James Earl Jones. Yes.
Entirely possible.
I know the black lion is going to be voiced by Cree Summer.
Oh, yeah. I love her. And I love Hagar.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That, like, Hagar in that battle with the other druids was crazy.
That was awesome. Yeah. And again, with the reveal that she is, in fact, an Altaian in some way, shape, or form, is that there are two things that I really like about Zarkon and Hagar in this, and that is that without really giving away too much, you guys have given them a tremendous amount of depth. Like, Zarkon in the original series wasn't the character with the obsession. That was a different character, who we'll talk about later.
Predictions territory.
But by giving him that one obsession, the black line, you've made him exceedingly more interesting. Mm-hmm. And with Hagar,
she sticks by his side, and like, she's not always, like, in the old series, she was just an evil witch, and she liked to cackle and yell at people, and I mean, that was the extent of it, but
that's
she...
kind of what witches do.
Sure. Yeah. Totally reasonable.
That's true. Yeah. That's what space
just
witches
the evil
do.
Ones.
That's
what
space witches do. Yes,
witches.
Switches. I like but it. By making her constantly loyal to him, and then also Altaïn, and again, we still know nothing about their past or their history, but even just like that look she gives him at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. when he's like knocked out, she like, there is a deep connection there, and we have no details about it.
Nope.
But there's so much that's shown without actually being told. So
I think that's the key. You know, I think we read some early, you know, criticism that like, oh, the bad guys are like your standard kind of mustache twirling bad guys, and we were like, like,
who
we were saying to ourselves,
that?
Like, I promise there's more. I promise
you're
there's
like,
more.
That's not true.
Like, there's so much just bubbling just beneath the surface. Yeah. And I think, you know, you're sort of tapping
into
it there.
And I thought that the whole sort of way that relationship between Hagar and Zarkon was kind of painted in this season, wherein they kind of have different goals. You know, Hagar's the one that's like, let's take over the universe.
She's the voice of reason.
Yeah, and Zarkon's like, my lion!
I miss my ex, and she's right there dating another man!
I just want my kitty back. He's definitely the addict, and she is, like, the one that's trying to cure him of his addiction.
Yeah.
Get his head back on track,
but
she's
so
still addicted.
I think she's one of my favorite characters. She's incredible.
Great.
Yeah.
If he's an addict, though, she's an enabler.
She is.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, come on. She's not a good person.
No.
They need, like,
she
an intervention, like a real deal intervention.
Yeah.
She knows how to keep the, like, I'm right, but you're in charge.
Yeah.
It's
kind
of where she's standing right
she's
now.
Like,
she's like,
yes. And that makes sense, because that's why she's, like, the perfect right-hand
and
man.
And that's got to be so frustrating for any right-hand man. Just
That just goes on in the Galra, though. There's a lot of people kind of going behind the scenes. Pro Rock tried it.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well. Yeah. But, you know, Hagar, she's on a higher level, and she does it more on the down.
Was anybody else super sad saying goodbye to Antok?
Oh,
Never even saw his face.
Damn. I know.
That is the second what is your face character we've had in like three episodes.
It just goes to show you, too, that, like, you know, death can come for you at any moment, because he has this moment with Keith earlier in the season where he's like, we're gonna meet again, we're gonna face off, like, this is gonna be a thing.
Yep,
that was
him signing his own death, like, that was it right there. I'm gonna see you later.
We're not gonna have another confrontation.
Really.
He's just gonna, okay, cool.
He's dead definitely now. At King Kai's planet.
No, I gotcha.
Hang on. Kayla just going, ugh.
I also really enjoyed that, like, once the castle resources were used up, Allura was like, well, we're just gonna go to Zarkon and fight.
Yeah.
I love the little castle
jet skis.
Yeah. They make me so happy.
Speaking of Star Trek, it felt very Star Trek.
And I liked Allura's staff weapon that she fought with.
That
also
was awesome.
As a person who's like, that's like my weapon of choice with martial arts, I was like, this is amazing.
Listen, it reminded me of like in the video game Star Wars Masters of Terracotta.
Whoa, take it easy.
Where
Princess Leia room full of nerds.
She fought with like a lightsaber staff that was like that.
That was very loud.
I think you just broke Alexis. That's my job.
Not happiness this time.
All right.
But we'd seen the gladiator, the Altaïn gladiator fight with
the staff. Yeah.
That's true.
And that's clearly like an Altaïn.
Yes. And that thing was set to, you know, take on kids, and it totally whooped the paladin's butts at the time. So she was like,
speaks softly and carry a big stick.
That's right.
I mean,
I mean,
she doesn't speak softly.
But
no.
I don't think she knows how to do that.
More like,
she
this tried. Is my boomstick.
She spoke softly to Keith for a moment.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I'm so...
She has a heart.
I will say that the logistics of storyboarding that sequence, our director, Eugene, having people fight on platforms that are, you know,
moving around
this big, and
I think he didn't sleep for a week just boarding that from head to toe.
When you've got so many moving pieces,
literally,
and then they're fighting on like such a small space.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
not
yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It was very video game, but that, it was exactly. really great.
It was like a Mario Bros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was definitely
when
like
the
a
Voltron video game comes out, that better be in there.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm honestly expecting a puzzle game or a dating game before we get a full on.
Don't play with
someone is going to make a Voltron Otome game. You know they will.
I want it.
Oh, yeah. Sign
me up. Voltron dating sim.
Do you play as like you do in an Otome game where you're just like a faceless avatar character?
I'm gonna go with
those ones because it makes me feel like you're dating a
video game character. Like they might not be real life humans.
Or is this gonna be like a Fire Emblem situation where like you can see all their faces and you're marrying off the people in your army to each other?
No, I want Sims. That's what I want. I want a Voltron Sims.
You realize Fire Emblem is just violent Sims.
I mean, yeah, I know, but whatever.
Yeah, don't put someone on my dream. You're insinuating that Sims isn't already violent. It always was when I was playing.
Yeah. You can drag people.
Violent Sims.
You can drag people out, and ruin theme parks. Yeah.
Real-time strategy Sims.
But yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of why I found this episode to be so visually compelling is because mm-hmm. you did have like these two awesome battles going on simultaneously, one of which was like this sort of homage to all things mecha anime, and then you had another going on inside that was that like beautiful like platformer video game sequence. I mean, even like a boss fight in Legend of Zelda, sometimes you have to like run around and jump on things, and it was something I connected with.
Yeah.
On sort of a nostalgia level.
And it was multiple characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like again, they're like, not only is the scenery itself moving, but the characters are pairing off.
It was insane. There was fantastic.
One point, the music actually got me when we introduced, I almost said Sauron, Zarkon.
Wrong one.
Different guy.
Finally, he's got an eye and he obsesses with people. Good enough.
Correct.
Cannot get over what he's lost. Someone took it and hid it in a cave for 10,000 years. Anyway!
Whoa, you just blew my mind.
That was an impressive connection.
And you run the show. the music, when they introduced his mech, with just the choir. Like, we're at One Winged Angel levels here.
Okay, to
and
be
it's
fair,
incredible.
The music for the entire show is always
so good.
Yeah, but occasionally, I just have Brian moments Barker's. Where it's like, and this was one of them.
So when you guys talk to the composers, do you kind of like give them, do you guys give them the storyboards, or do you guys give them like a general rundown
the show.
Yeah, we have a spotting session with them. So we'll watch the episode and then talk through it.
Yeah.
So it comes at a point where the animation is back. It's not 100% finalized, but it's locked for time. So timing isn't going to change. They're not going to have to shift score around. We watch it down, you know, we don't, I feel like I'm kind of doing like an Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary when I do it. I'm like, and then the robot comes out.
This part's epic. You gotta watch, this part's epic.
So, big deal.
I'm envisioning a Latin
they're standing
choir.
Off. Yeah. And then they attack. And then they're just like, And then they just go, and then they give us something that's amazing. And
occasionally, you know, we'll be like, could you just like give more synths. They're like, all right, man. I don't know how many more synths we got.
I went to a scoring session for The Simpsons one time, which was amazing. And it was a similar thing where like the animation was locked for time. It was mostly done, but it wasn't like in its final phase. Right. And I actually watched the like Lego episode they did of Simpsons. So like some of it was just like grids of Lego characters, and you could just kind of see the outlines. But it was such a cool process because I just like sat in and they had like a whole orchestra there, and the woman playing the harp like played harp for Little Mermaid. And
I will say we are absolutely not on that level. Like no orchestras are sitting around. It's four of us.
Right.
Yeah, they have laptops.
But that's what makes you guys so awesome. Yeah. You don't need a giant amount of people. You guys can work with a small group.
We also came up in the time when like music was going from orchestra to
absolutely,
the artificial.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, kind
of computer generated, and people kept trying to go for that very orchestral sound, but it hadn't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah.
So we both have this kind of like weird fear of orchestral music coming out of a computer. It's made like leaps and bounds now, and now it sounds incredible.
It's hard to tell the difference.
But
it really
we still have this like weird fear, and we're like, let's not even do that. Like, we wanted
embrace
to embrace
the
sci-fi.
Embrace the
fun. Go with that full retro.
And for me, I grew up going to like warehouse and you know, renting VHS tapes, and all the films that I rented, they were all their soundtracks were like synth soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's sort of that era of
music. Yeah, we're
of
just
music.
Shoving our childhood
yeah.
into the show.
And it's much well, appreciated.
It's
yeah,
sci-fi.
Please do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we want.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Go Lion was, you yeah. know? Yeah.
Totally.
Well, and I legit thought you had a full-on orchestra and choir for that moment. Wow. Like, that was great.
Right, yeah, that's all due to Brad and Brian for just doing incredible
dance.
Yeah.
Well,
orchestra, yeah, orchestra and choir is really good for that, oh, we're all going to die moment.
Again, yeah. we're going
That's
Final
the cool
Fantasy
thing,
VII,
too, though, is to
angel.
Switch over when you're mm-hmm. usually in that, like, yeah. you know, you're in that synth land for a while, and then it goes orchestral, and you're like, uh-oh, yeah. I just got serious.
Yeah. Are we going to get a soundtrack release for the series?
There is one for season.
For the first,
yeah,
season.
For the first season.
I have yeah. it on Spotify.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. There you go.
Do we know when season two will drop?
No idea. Yeah. I think we're just kind of hoping that
fingers crossed
it happens.
Because I need it. Because that's when I'm playing video games. That's the soundtrack I'm listening to.
Playing Destiny.
Oh.
Playing Destiny to the Voltron soundtrack is fantastic. Oh. Just saying.
I have a confession. Sometimes when I'm having trouble getting out of bed, I play the formation.
The form
oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah, that's my alarm.
And is it just that's me, a good or one. Did that particular piece of music change the last time they did it in this episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did sound mm-hmm. a little bit.
It's more triumphant.
So every episode, it's usually a little tweaked.
Really?
Yeah, because yeah. they're. I mean, we have one big long cut, but oftentimes right. we cut it down and use little pieces, so mm-hmm. they have to... You know, manipulate the main, yeah, the main.
Interesting. Theme. And sometimes we just ask for something like even more epic if we know what's following is going right. to be a huge thing. So it's like, and then just bring this way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's how I talk like music. I'm just like, bring it up.
Yeah,
that's crank music it up to talk. Yeah. Right?
More cowbell.
Yeah, one of the
pretty much.
One of the things we've talked about on this show that we really like about the series is that it's like. The solution for each episode isn't Form Voltron. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
it's uh-huh. fun that there's more storytelling mm-hmm. than that kind of formulaic, okay, we have a monster of the week, and we Form Voltron, and we win!
But I never get tired of the formation sequence.
Oh, no, not at all. No, that's like, I can watch...
Ever.
I can watch the transformation sequences in Sailor Moon, like, on an endless loop.
Yeah.
I love the transformation
sequences. Every time you notice something new yeah. in the Voltron yeah. sequence, every time it's like, oh, look at the detail, oh, look at that, it yeah. does this... Dang!
It's incredible. And the amount of work that went into it. Sukjin, one of our artists at Studio Mir, yeah. boarded yeah. it. It went through an internal pass here. Like, you, me, Ryu, we all did a little bit. Yeah. Christine ended up, you know, designing a ton of those interior shots because they're not in the CG.
Yeah, yeah. that's not
and
CG.
So
it's all just traditionally
all
animated.
Designing oh, wow. it, sent it over to Mir. That's they, awesome. Like, made it happen. It's crazy. The process, that transformation sequence actually had its own like budget.
Yeah. Wow. Its own production yeah. pipeline. It was separate yeah. from the show. Yeah.
Totally fine with that.
It makes wow. sense. I mean, you have an asset that you're going to be using mm-hmm. on a consistent basis. It makes sense to kind of give it its own pipeline yeah. and its own little separate allocation
yeah.
of
yeah,
funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We kept making this joke when we first saw it, and I'm going to ruin it for you because you're not going to be able to unsee it when I tell
oh,
you.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, we do this all
but
the time.
But like,
oh,
yay. His face comes to camera, and then the thing splits open, and we always... Like, when he came to camera, he went like, huh? What? Like, he's like, I can't
you
hear you.
Please, like,
did you
say something?
Did you say something?
Oh, no.
Now, whatever you see, you're going to hear.
Wait, is Voltron space grandpa?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
huh?
No,
he's like 10,000 years old. He's been asleep.
No,
yeah.
he
yeah.
sounds like my Uncle PJ's grandpa. Like, it's just,
that's weird. We already have your Uncle PJ on a different show.
Yeah. Oh, no, like, no, for real. Like, I thought he was just like, what'd you say, Alex? What'd you say?
Like,
oh, no.
Just so you guys know.
Is that weird, Uncle PJ?
Yeah. But so you guys know, for future editing of the Voltron transformation sequence, Chica Knight in the chat feels personally offended anytime there's a transformation and we don't see the Green Lion roar. So.
Wow.
Oh.
All right. We'll do our best.
Good to know. So, yeah.
Somebody
has a
something.
I thought we had the new doorbell.
Yep, my bad.
It's not the usual. You're over time. Get out of the studio.
We changed.
Speaking
it.
Of which, Mark, if you could give me an update on how much we got left, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta get.
The fans want to hear us talk about the final moments of the episode. So I think it's a good time to transition.
She's waiting to do this.
The fans want to hear us talk about lying there and crying. All right. I think actually remind me. I don't remember my reaction though the first time we watched this, but we marathoned this together. I think when we opened up to an empty cockpit, I just kind of laughed maniacally for a while.
So cute, Katie.
So appreciate
that. That is how I deal
I don't
with
think
trauma.
That's the moment that Mark's talking about.
That is in fact not the moment I'm talking
wow.
about.
Wow.
We
the moment after the moment.
Distinct endings.
Okay. But the reaction was the same for both of them.
Are we talking about Hagar?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were talking about like after they look at the chair and they're like, "He's gone," and then Shiro's like, "No, I just went to the bathroom."
That's
is that not it? Oh, did that get cut out?
Director's cut. Director's
sorry, guys,
cut.
I just really needed to pee. It was a long space.
I feel like you guys are harboring a blooper reel that we don't know. clips like that.
He got jostled and he's just magneted to a different
butt magnet.
He's up top.
Butt stuck to the ceiling.
Guys. Just hanging there.
Just hanging around. Aww. Is there any way that we will get a blooper reel, special content, anything on a DVD release, on the YouTube page, on anything?
You can get a whole lot of us telling you stuff that, you know, stupid things, that jokes we pitch. But but the thing with animation is we don't usually animate stuff that isn't going to get used.
That's true.
So it's like we have to animate a blooper.
They probably
reel.
Have a lot of footage or a lot of audio footage of us just in the booth
making
stupid
jokes and fart noise.
Sure.
I want it.
Whenever that happens,
I don't
we'll say,
need a visual.
Pull that. So we do have a file of just crazy sort of outtakes.
My kingdom for your outtake file. Not actually
kidding. Please, just put a thumbnail on it, upload it to
there'll be so much Tyler and Josh, you have no idea.
Reese.
No,
first time
obviously Reese
went in the booth and he's just like, I can't hear myself. I gotta turn. Like, and he's like turning knobs. And he's just saying normal things, and we're like giggling because his voice is so hilarious to us. And then I feel bad because he's probably like, I'm serious. I'm like,
Reese's like ability to just sort of bail on a line when he knows it's going south. He'll be like, you know, Princess Alora, you gotta. He's just like,
best of
the day. So awesome.
I really, honestly, sincerely need this.
The Shiro disappearing thing, for me, that was actually kind of like a moment of relief. I was like, oh, cool, so he's not necessarily absolutely dead.
Nobody knows.
Thank goodness.
Yes, I know.
Because I don't know if I mentioned this when you were on, but my older brother texted me when he was binging, because he got through it before I did, and he was like, I have two episodes left. Shiro is a dead man. Wow. All in caps. And I was like, I'd be surprised if he wasn't. So I was surprised.
Mom left a note that said, if I may.
If I may.
Go for it.
Not only is there no body, but there was no blood, which I think is even more interesting.
Yeah. But the Bayard's still there. It worked that hard to get back and then just kind of left it.
Yeah, I mean, I pitched a blood covered, like, guts filled cockpit, but DreamWorks was like, we don't know if we can do
this
that.
This is still meant for children.
I think you and I was like, well, what about just like a withered like husk of a body? And they're like,
just one
space
eyeball.
Dad, space mummy.
We're like, can he disappear? Yeah, that's fine.
Why?
We talked about raising Shiro. I mean, that's just kind
space
of
mummy.
Space mummy.
Instead of space dad, space mummy.
Oh! I like you. Can you come back like forever?
I'd like to.
See, that's what they pitched.
For those of you listening on iTunes, Alexa definitely mimed getting stabbed. And
she mimed suffering.
I did. And then blood everywhere. No body, no death. He's on the astral plane fighting Zarkon somewhere. Zarkon just got to stick around.
Zarkon and Hagar.
Yes.
I will bring it back.
I know you ship it, but
obviously.
Who doesn't?
Can we talk about it?
Go!
Yes. Oh my gosh.
You have permission.
Take
it, Green Lion.
My only thing is I wish that we had sent Mark. I wish we'd given you an image of this character to put up during the show.
He's on it right now.
Prince Lotor in the old version. Woo! Take it, Megan.
I'm so excited. Oh, that's right. You didn't watch the old Voltron.
Beautiful.
I like the new one too much to go back to the old one now.
I think maybe
it's good if you're drinking.
So.
We've got a bit of an axe.
So,
thing
guys,
going on.
And the long white hair.
Ladies.
This makes me so happy.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I was insanely invested in the will Prince Lotor, like, become a redeemed character because he was in love with the princess? He doesn't. Spoiler alert. He is exceedingly shallow, had a one-note personality of, like, he liked
he wanted power, so he occasionally hated his dad.
Yeah.
Yelled at Hagar, and he wanted to marry Princess Allura or kill her when she was like, no, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So could not take no for an answer. That was literally the only character trait he had.
So here's my favorite thing about fandom. Well, did you have more?
No, I have lots more.
My favorite
is like, I actually wrote my college thesis on
Well, you were a media studies person. No, my favorite thing is that the fandom has just taken this and run with it, mm-hmm. and the biggest ship that I've seen with Lotor has been Lance and Lotor, and they're calling it Lancelot.
Wow.
I love that name.
I was fond of Schlance as a ship name because it was hilarious, Lancelot just kills me.
Man. That's amazing.
God bless ship names that are actually something else as well.
That's so great.
Like, I love those.
But okay, continue.
Like, do I ship
what
it?
I'm
no.
excited
do I think
about?
It's funny? Yes.
What I'm excited about is, first of all, we know that Hagar is Altaïan. She has white hair.
Yep.
Yes. And looking at his old character design, he was like the only Galra with hair at all. Which was
so Galra are just furry.
So I feel like he's half Altaïan. And given what you guys did with Zarkon, again, he was infinitely more interesting than he was in the previous series. I am looking forward to seeing what you do, whether he's a full-on villain, if he's a sympathetic character, if he's an evil guy with some interesting depth to him. And that's the thing, is I'm really excited about this because he's going to be interesting.
Yes.
She didn't get the gory cockpit, but she got the gory Lotor.
I was like, he's got to be one note. He's got to just be creepily in love with Allura, and that is it.
Be awkward.
Yeah, Lauren decided he's just the exact same character from the old show, just to throw you for a loop.
And everyone's just upset. I'm like, is this guy for real?
His character design's the same.
For real?
F-U-R?
I'll go.
If there's not fringe, I'm not in.
I really want him to propose a marriage of political alliance to Allura. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want. Like, wow, for the marriage. But let's stop this war. We'll unite our forces via marriage. And then everyone else just kind of be like, what?
I would say something even further than that. What if he wants to perpetuate the species?
Oh, yeah. Right. If he's half Altaïan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love arranged marriage plotlines, though. I really do.
And I think they're fantastic.
I think it would be interesting if they were childhood friends.
Oh.
What are you doing to me, Megan? Stop it.
How old is everybody?
Yeah, I mean.
They have been extracting planet juice like vampires. So.
Fair.
There you go.
Fair.
It's going to do you one up and go full Tenchi Muyo. What if they're sister and brother?
Oh! That thought did cross my mind as well.
Okay, again, yeah.
It did.
That's
I'd be okay with this.
I want it.
Because I think, was it last episode that we were talking about this? Like, the incident that broke up the original Voltron?
Yes. Yeah,
where a love triangle could be
incident.
Part of it, but it wouldn't be the whole thing.
No, yeah,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what I need, is an Ember Island Players episode that is just, like, the past of, like, how the history of Voltron.
I'm okay with
robot.
This.
Yeah.
There are no words for how much I want this.
Yeah. Yeah,
you too, yeah, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Literally the legend of Voltron.
All right, we are getting the short on time moment. Do we have the iTunes reviews pulled up?
Yeah, I do.
Rattle off the names
so
of
many
all
theories.
Your wonderful people
yeah,
who
you
have
guys.
Kept us on the air. Thank you for reviewing. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving the ratings. When you do that, you keep us on the air as an after show, and you help our ratings in the iTunes search system, so when people search for Voltron, we come a little further up the ranks. Who do we have?
I was going to say, I think that iTunes has sorted itself out now, and everything is back to actually being in chronological order.
Oh,
having issues last week, so I'm just going to be safe and shout out everybody who's left a review since February 16th. So we have Puppet Master 55, That Chip Guy, Sokka Doggy, Tom Preston, and Felix Falks.
Wow.
Next
Now, please continue to review over the hiatus if you haven't. We'll still be here. We'll still be on Twitter. We'll be happy to talk with you. We are coming back in September? Unconfirmed?
I don't know.
And maybe six seasons. Also unconfirmed.
Question mark.
Lots of them.
Six seasons in a movie.
We need to repurpose that hashtag. Community had their heyday, it's our turn.
Dibs.
Well, Lionsgate has Voltron movie rights, don't they?
But they only had the live action
one.
Still a movie.
How about a Broadway show?
We have Josh and we have Jeremy and everybody else, I'm sure.
Also,
we've at least got two boy band members.
Also, in Japan, there are many musical adaptations of many anime series. There's about 25 Sailor Moon musicals.
The Death Note musical is amazing.
Bex, I'll send it to you.
Please.
We'll talk about this later.
Sorry. But all I'm saying is, like, why can't we just get one Voltron musical?
At least a musical episode.
Can we have a musical episode? Can we do it?
I left the form in my car, but yes, I would like to formally submit a
musical episode.
Yeah. Oh man.
I mean, Neil's already shown us that he can do it. So. Things I will never get over is Zarkon karaoke.
Yes. The best thing ever.
Yeah, so let's swing into some real quick predictions here.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Is that not the quickest for, like, prediction? 5 minutes?
Kind of. I mean, we have Lotori.
But now it's official.
Where in the world is Shiro San Diego?
Yep. Aww,
we'll
play that game.
Who too?
And Prince Lotor is going to be in the next season. Nailed it!
Where do we think his parents is? Who is the mysterious masked person who was in the stomach of a worm?
I will bring it up. Some people thought that might have been Prince Lotor.
In the belly of the Weblum, the other Galra.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with that theory, because some people were speculating that that person was, in fact, Prince Lotor.
I just keep him in cold storage in a planet-destroying monster?
I feel like this doesn't make sense, because, like, I feel like they know where he is at all times. Yeah. And I really also want that mysterious masked figure to be a lady.
You are going to keep a child leash on the crown prince of the empire.
It's so hard to tell with the Galra, though. You can't tell by shape.
I don't think they subscribe to gender binary, maybe.
Yeah, they might not.
There was at one point a line in the script that said, Galra men look a lot like the women.
And their women look a lot like the men.
So they're like Lord of the Rings dwarves?
Yeah, exactly. All right, you guys, that's pretty much all the time we have for this episode and this season. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Are you working on any projects that you can tell us about?
No.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Stupid NDA.
Dang it.
Animation especially.
Yeah, I knew.
We're still employed by
DreamWorks. That's good.
For now.
That's good.
I'm working on trying to get some sleep.
Yeah.
That's good.
The unconfirmed seasons 3 through 6.
I've got a remodel of my kitchen floor that I'm working on.
Nice.
That's coming up
soon.
Yeah.
And where can the people go online if they want to keep up with you?
Oh, geez, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is.
It's JDS 24/7.
I don't know.
It's either 24/7 or 365. He's only got two.
Or that's somebody else.
Walk up, Joaquim. You can just type it in and find it.
Have fun.
People on Tumblr found y'all's Tumblrs before I could.
There you go. I'm the best Lauren Montgomery, because there's a lot of Lauren Montgomerys out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm the best. So F you, guys.
Oh, no,
just take that.
Wow.
And then
line in the sand.
Also Twitter, Art of Lauren M, because apparently the best of Lauren Montgomery doesn't fit in Twitter. It's a little long. I've got a bit of a long name.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And then, that's that.
Nice.
Ibex Weebex on Twitter, Bex_TK on Instagram, and I can never remember what my Tumblr is.
But it exists.
You can find me. It's a simple one. It's BexTK in some iteration.
You'll find it.
All right, well, apparently there's an underwear model named Bex Taylor on Tumblr, and it weirds me out. And I always get, like, the wrong tags. It gets uncomfortable.
I can relate. There happens to be a porn star named Megan Salinas.
Awesome.
Porn too.
Yeah.
She's long since retired. This was in my college days. It was when Google was a new thing. And I had a friend, he's like, let's Google everyone's names. And then, whoa, what is this?
And in the last few minutes of this after show, we play porn star same name bingo.
Emma, where can the people find you?
At my name, Emma Fife, EmmaFyffe. That's it.
You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's ATORRES890.
If you want the non-porn star, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. And episode 2 of The Shadow Remastered is up. Go check that out on YouTube.
That is a Bex approved Twitter there.
Yeah.
And I am on all of the social medias as Kiaxet, K-I-A-X-E-T, also on YouTube if you like reaction videos. Yeah, I also kind of live on Gather Your Party on Friday nights on Geek and Sundry, and Star Wars Rebels is back on Sundays. Thank you guys once again for coming, and it has been a blast. Thank you to everyone who has stuck with us this season, who has sent us art and all sorts of other fun things and Photoshops and made drinking games, and just y'all are amazing human beings, and we love you. Thank you so much, and should next season come around, we will see you then.
Bye, guys!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I'm bonding with you!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.